Scotty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
And welcome back, 97.5 The Fanatic. Rob Motti with you, 610-632-0975. I'm going to get right to the phones. And we got Harry Hustle in Philly. You're on The Fanatic. What's up, my man?
Yo, Rob, what's good, bro?
What's up, man? Appreciate those tweets.
Yeah. I had to call in just because a few callers, you know, they got my gears grinding. So I just wanted to make a few points real quick.
Go ahead.
All right, so first off, you know, shout out to Chris. And I know, he felt how he felt. He wanted nail on his lawn with the All Lives Matter sign and all that. I would caution him not to, just because the way the world is moving in the near future, he talked about his kids. He may have a mixed grandchild or great-grandson, you know, and I don't think he would want to represent in that way. It might go viral. You know, these kids these days, somebody put a pic of you on Twitter. Like, come on, bro. You don't want to represent that. You're on the right side of history. That's point number one. To my man, Kyle, who was picking all that black-on-black crime nonsense, right? Okay. Have you ever heard of white-on-white crime? The term black-on-black crime in itself is racist. It puts a spotlight on a problem that happens in every community. Yeah. Most people who are killed, injured, assaulted, yada, 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 know the person that did it to them. That means that's in the same community. All that black-on-black crime is nonsense. People try to use to rationalize the fact that they don't care. Just say it. Stop being cowards and just say you don't care about the black lives. It's a great stand-up by the kid Michael Shea from Saturday Night Live. Shout out to him. He also was detained while running with a hoodie by police, put on the ground, all types of stuff, but that's a different story. The gist of his segment was, we are not even saying black lives matter or black lives are better than yours. We're not even saying black lives are equal. Isn't that sad, Rob? We're not even saying, yo, black lives is equal to yours. We're just saying
they should be.
Like,
but yeah.
Like, they should be, bro, but we know we ain't going to get that. Ain't that sad? Like, we know that. So we got to say, yo, can't we just matter? Please, just let me matter. Now, this is my thing. The craziest part is, I guarantee if the slogan was dogs' lives matter, where pets' lives matter, wouldn't nobody have a rebuttal. Those same people coming out trying to find every reason to rationalize saying all lives matter would be all for dogs' lives matter. They would be in support of it. In fact, a lot of those people were in support of it when Michael Vick was here, but again, a different story. You know, and back to my man Chris. People change their names. The Jews, Polish people, Italians, almost every ethnicity.
I did it, man. I did it.
Right, because you don't want to get that oppression you see black people get. We are the example. So people, every other ethnicity that has tried to come into this country that is based on a racism system, they all try to get away from that. Okay, hey, please, I'm not that over there, guys. Anything to not be that, I'll change my name. You know what I mean? I'll try to lighten up. Native Americans own slaves. Black people were on plantations. The guy who asked about black cops, could they be racist? Yes, they can. Black slaves on plantations were conditioned to then go police slaves. They whip slaves. The master didn't do it. He made another black guy do it. That was also part of the psychological conditioning that makes slavery a lot worse. I think we should call slavery a holocaust, because the word holocaust sounds worse than slavery. The holocaust is the exact same thing that happened in slavery. It's the pretty much annihilation on a mass scale. And that's what happened with slavery, but we try to paint it in so many different lanes on this part, that part. They don't say child trafficking. They don't say that gynecology is based off of black women getting raped on plantations so much, having babies back to back to back, that their vaginas had problems, you know, so they had to develop medical things to treat it. Wow. Like, that's the basis of the things in our country that these people that say all lives matter are rationalizing, and they don't even understand it fully because they didn't read the books that I had to read. My grandfather was a police officer. Both of my grandfathers, they both told me, if you ever get stopped, immediately tell whatever officer that is that your grandfather is a police officer, and maybe he'll help you. Like, why would a police officer say that about police officers? Because
no.
They know.
Well, Harry, yeah. I appreciate the call, man. Good knowledge.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about you, Rob, but I just had to fire off my points because I knew I wanted to go get a lot of time.
I got you, brother.
You can talk on Twitter more. I appreciate your show, bro. I appreciate where you stand and that you're not backing down, because that's what us as black people need. We need our white counterparts to not back down. Like I said, I'm 100%. A father of biracial children. My wife is white, and she can't back down. And, you know, it's hard for her. So it's hard for her.
No doubt.
Stand together. Stand united. Thanks, Rob. I appreciate you, bro.
You got it, Harry. Harry Hustle's also a good follow on Twitter. So I appreciate him checking in, and he's right. We that's the thing. You got to stand up. We all have to stand up. And I'm encouraged. I'm encouraged that more people are speaking out and standing up. So I am encouraged by that, but we can't let up. We can't let up. It can't be just a conversation that you have when everything was at the forefront of the news and then you forget about it. No, I reported this story 3 days ago that the NFL is going to play what's traditionally known as the Black National Anthem before the Star Spangled Banner, week one of the NFL season. And the reactions that I saw on Twitter to my story, the reactions that I got on Facebook to my story were such that I was like, this is further proof that unity is so far away, that racial inequality is, we got to continue to talk about it. We still got to fight for it. And there's a long way to go. Lewis on the cell, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, what's going on, Rob? How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man.
That's what's up. First and foremost, I want to say thank you. Thank you for talking about this, right? Because it is very important that people really do talk about this.
Yes.
Now, I am a black Hispanic individual, but yet if you look at me, my presence shows that I'm black, right?
Okay.
And what people don't understand is, like, yeah, I'm a hardworking person. I'm in the National Guard. I work an engineering job. And when I walk around with my head up because I can't allow anything to hurt me. However, the minute I go behind closed doors, this hurts because I have people that don't know who I am because they judge me off of the base of my skin, telling me that, hey, you're not good enough, or hey, you're this, or hey, how you feel about these individuals that are out there, you know, wrecking people's businesses. And yeah. I'm like, yo, that's not me. That is not me. And you don't understand why this is happening. So I'm understanding on both sides of the front. However, as far as the NFL playing the Black National Anthem for the first week, and I'm not sure if they're saying they're going to play every week.
No, just week one. Their plan right now is to play that song before each game of week one of this season.
And listen, I appreciate them doing it. However, week one, it does get the conversation going. Mm-hmm. It does allow people to go ahead and talk about it. You're starting to see how people react to your posts, right? However, how long is that going to happen, right, until people actually sit down and say, okay, we need to fix this?
Yeah.
How long is that going to happen?
You're right. This is a gesture by the NFL. But right. The conversation needs to be continued, and it can't be the one thing that I hear so often, and it's really troublesome, is when are we going to stop? I'm tired of hearing this. Well, you know when we can stop? You know when you should be tired of hearing about it? When everyone is treated equally. That's the bottom line. So it should never stop. It shouldn't.
You're absolutely right. I mean, listen, being in the service, right? They're taught everybody is green, right? Everybody is one color. It doesn't matter if you're black, white. It doesn't matter if you're purple, blue. If you put on that uniform, this is the individual that's going to have your back in or out of war, in or out outside of war in peacetime, right? I have brothers and sisters that I go to now just to talk about this same situation, and they tell me, listen, I can't. And I'm talking about my white counterparts. I sit down and talk to them and say, listen, I don't. To tell me flat out, they don't understand. However, they will fight with me until they see that this is done right. Mind you, these are my white counterparts.
Yeah.
Right. My black counterparts, same thing. And we all unite together. Now, when it comes down to it, we are tired of seeing this. Me being a service member, them being service members, we're tired of seeing the division that's happening on us. Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that say, hey, I don't want them to play the Black National Anthem. They're seeing it from a different perspective. They think that they take it as disrespect because they don't understand.
Good stuff, Lewis. Man, I got to run. I appreciate the call and appreciate you sharing your perspective. Have a good one, my man. And he's right, because the bottom line is this. If it troubles you, if it bothers you that this song is going to be played, there's something deep within that you have to examine. And I'm not going to change your heart. I'm not. I can't do it. I don't think anyone humanly possible can change someone else's heart. I've told you where I stand on that. That comes from a higher power. That comes from God. But what I can do is try to get you to think about it, to be uncomfortable a little bit. And for those who are uncomfortable with this conversation, just ask yourself why. Isaac on a cell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Isaac?
Hey, Rob. How you doing, my man?
How are you, brother?
I'm doing good. Hey, first of all, you're Arabic, right? You presented your Arabic names.
Yeah, my parents were born in Palestine, so I actually speak fluent Arabic, but I was born in Philly. Yeah.
All right, Matt. Dude, first of all, I want to say that's a beautiful name. The fact that it's named Spring, I think that's a fantastic name. And it's kind of
thank
you. You had to sit down and change that name because at the end of the day, you know, because everybody has a story from somewhere. And unfortunately for us African Americans, you know, we don't have much of a lineage because, you know, a lot of our people were dragged over here and, you know, the whole story of slavery and stuff like that. You know, I don't want to take up any of your time, but I just want to make it simply quick. I mean, you know, we are in the precipice of something that's hopefully different right now. And I just think at this moment, we're just going to get a ton of blowback because at the end of the day, like, everybody's very emotional. Everybody's kind of, you know, everybody's kind of sadly sticking to their guns and nobody's really listening to each other. But, you know, at the end of the day, you got to sit down and have hope. You know, like you said, you just got to have hope that eventually that thing's going to move on and move to a better direction. Because, you know, I do feel like, you know, that the conversation is really starting because, like you said, now that we have the younger generation of more, you know, we're fortunate to see that our children, black, white, Asian, Arabic, you know, Italian, everybody's mixing together because they kind of grew up, you know, loving each other. And that's why they're so upset and they're kind of working together to move forward to hopefully make change. To get to your point.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You're right. That is what's encouraging, Isaac. That is very encouraging that younger people are finally saying, hey, this is not, you know, we want to change this cycle. We want to change this cycle.
Yes. And to get to your point about the Black National Anthem being singed on the first day, I mean, I've sung that song so many times. It's a beautiful song. I really do ask, you know, for our white listeners just to Google and just to listen to it, because those words are very beautiful. Uplifting. You know, they are very uplifting. As long as, you know, it can be worked with the national anthem, although that national, our American national anthem has dark history. It is. It has that.
You're right.
And on top of that, too, I mean, let's just be understanding. If y'all are going to be offended about the NFL bringing this in, then no offense to, you know, our white listeners out there. I mean, I don't know what you guys are going to do when the NBA comes back in 2 weeks because, I mean, that's all African-American driven right now. And you know they're going to have some Black Lives Matter movement or something big. I mean, this has now moved far beyond just the NFL. This is now moving far in all sports. You're going to see sometime a protest in every sport. I mean, this is now part of the culture now moving forward, and you can't go back. So I don't know. Is everybody just going to stop watching sports because now that everybody's...
No, and they're not, Isaac. No, they're not. And the people who say they aren't going to... And I appreciate the call, man. Thank you for hanging on and sharing your perspective on this conversation and on this topic. Thank you, man. But I feel like those who were lashing out, I'm not going to watch the NFL. I'm not going to. No, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. You're still going to watch. You're still going to tune in. Let me get to Jay in Philly. You're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Jay? Thanks for hanging in.
Wow, man. I love you, good brother.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Hey, listen, man, you just said it earlier, and I love how you touched on it. I got so many points to get to. Hope I can get them all out.
Sure.
But as a country, the first thing we can do to get on the same playing field is repent and come to Christ. And that's the only thing that's going to be able to save all of us from this. And, you know, I really appreciate your views on that. I appreciate the way you just on the radio and continue just to show your faith and it's just amazing, brother. So I want to commend you on that.
Thank you. I'm not ashamed to say it, and I appreciate the platform that allows me to share that with the listeners. And even though we're just only here on a sports talk station, if I'm going to be real with people and I'm going to tell them how I feel and give them my perspective, I got to tell you how I really feel, and I got to tell you where I'm coming from and why I feel that way. And honestly, you know, I don't think we're going to change anything until more and more people recognize that this is how we really achieve unity is we get to a point where more and more people just follow the word.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you get on here each and every week and you let it be known, and I really appreciate that. Now, for my brother Chris, OG Chris from the Laundry Mag, right, I'm going to tweet you.
I love Chris, man. I love Chris.
He's an amazing dude, and I hope people take no disrespect to this. Like, I listen day and night when I'm working and when I'm running my business. Like, he calls a lot. He's a great dude, and I'm not trying to throw no shade towards him. Rob, I was the one to hit you up on Twitter saying that he wants his football, and we just want to live.
Oh, this is that Jay. Okay, yeah, I see it. I see it. No, and that's a great point. That's a great point. You know,
and if we can just get him, like he, you know, like he said, that's his escape, and I respect that. But right now, we have the nation's attention. We know this is the perfect. We have to strike with an iron pot. Like, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt your football, but this is how we get our message across that, you know, our people is dying. And, yeah. and just quick, two quick more points. To the brother who was saying, about the black kids who was chasing the Chinese kids around there, boxed out Philly, and how we use the N word and it's not right. I understand how you feel about that, and I understand how uncomfortable that makes you. But, you know, as a black man, I have to let you know that's our word. And I know out in public, you might feel offended if you hear it, but the best way I can explain it so you can kind of understand it, if somebody called their wife honey or called their wife baby, like for me, I've been married 8 years. I call my wife Kate, like birthday cake. And I don't think any other man will come up to my wife and call my wife cakes.
He better not, Jay.
He better not.
That's for sure.
And that's my nickname for my wife. Yeah. That same thing it goes for us. That's our word. And I'm sorry you feel uncomfortable with it. You don't understand it. But that's for us. Like, you know, you don't have to call us that. You can call us, you know, hey, how you doing, sir? You don't call anybody else any other names. That's a name that we give each other. So try not to be too offensive by that. And for the numbers guy, who was going on and on about the numbers and how white men are getting killed by cops. Good brother, this is why we are protesting. So you get it. So you can go and Google and just understand that it's so much deeper than numbers. We're not statistics. We're more than that. We're so much more than that.
Jay, well put, my man.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that really just set me back. I mean, I was out there getting ready to grill, and when he was rattling off that, I was saying to myself, this is why we can't let up.
No, you're right. And I like to give everyone respect when they call in. And even if it's a differing point of view, I like to just engage them in a conversation where maybe they'll hang up and then try and think about what I said and what others are saying and why they may be having a different point of view. And maybe ultimately they'll examine that. I appreciate you,
absolutely,
man. Thank
absolutely
you.
Absolutely. And real quick, man, I want to shout out to D-Train. Usually I always say for the D-Train when I call, man, but I was just so focused and angry. It hurts us as people that we have to go through this, but we have to go through it because we have to change. We have to change.
No
Nothing
doubt.
Can go back to the way it was.
No doubt.
Appreciate you, Rob.
You got it, Jay. Take care, man. Let me get to Bill in Philly. He's been hanging on for a while. I appreciate it. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Rob, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, man. First off, thank you for hanging in there so long. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your perspective, Rob. I tell you, when you said that your belief in God is what changed you, I got to say, about 30 years ago, I used to work at a place called Casey O'Toole in the gallery, third floor in the gallery. And I was a waiter there. And I was working on a group of 10, which were Caucasian. I'm black. And one other person says, we can dress you up, but we can't take you out. And I was like, wow. And Rob, that stung me. But because of my belief, you know, what God has done in my life, I was able to change. And I just want to just say that people can change.
Yes.
If they have God in their life, change is possible.
Yes.
And, you know, until this day, that still stings me, but my heart is. But my heart for them is forgiveness. And so, and you know, I look at it this way. God has made every person in this world. And so I'm black. Somebody else may be white. Somebody may be Hispanic. But God has made all of us. So that puts us all on an equal platform to me. And to me, the love of God that has been in my life, I have to show to others. So I believe people can change. I believe I would like to believe that in time people might change. I don't know. But yes, as far as the national anthem,
I mean, Bill, real quick, I'll jump in here and I'll say, for anyone who thinks people and their hearts can't change, I've talked often about my story and how my life has changed. But y'all, if you want to just look at someone in the New Testament called Paul, who was Saul, and he was a murderer, and he was killing, right, Christians. Yes. And if he can change and become one of the greatest disciples to write so many books of the New Testament, man, forget about how Rob changed. Just look at how Saul became Paul and how he changed.
Rob, that is so big. And I believe, and that is such a big point. And I believe that I know how God has changed my life over the years. And it's only because, like you, my faith, my belief. And if people would just draw more toward God, I think then people will find more resolve in their life. I think they'll find a better life. And I think people can live better and we can live together.
And we got it. And we can. And Bill, I appreciate your call, man. Thank you for hanging on. All right, bro.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. We can never stop. We can never stop trying to bring about that kind of change and talking about what makes others uncomfortable. But, I told you I wanted to read this, and this is from Pastor Rob Whitmire from Timoteo Sports Ministry. And he texted me and said, he's a 6 foot, 270 foot black man. And hang on, Lewis and Mark, I'll get to you, I promise. But Pastor Rob is a 6 foot, 270 pound black man. And he said, I got to be mindful to not jog in my community because that can be intimidating to my white brothers and sisters who are my neighbors. Yet our white neighbors jog by our home daily without any thoughts or worries. So it's 2020. This is 2020. And my man, Pastor Rob's texting me this. This is what he lives through as a 6 foot, 270 pound black man. He's not jogging in his white neighborhood because he doesn't want to be intimidating to someone. So when you can't understand what the fight is for, and when the NFL is going to play what is traditionally recognized as the Black National Anthem week one of the football season, and you say, I'm tired of that. When is it going to stop? When is it going to end? I don't want this interfering with my entertainment of football. I just want to remind you what Pastor Rob just texted me.
He's not the only person. We've had a lot of calls who have similar sentiments, saying, like, I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid someone called and they couldn't stay on, but they had said, like, my wife fears when I go out because of what happens to people like Philando Castillo and Sam DeBose and like that. So it's not an isolated thing. And now in your head, you can think, well, the statistics don't say that it's valid. Well, even if that's true, I disagree that I think the statistics back up how they feel. But even if you disagree with it, they still feel that way, and you should want to find a way to make them not feel that way. You should want to make some changes and make the world a better place so they don't have to feel that way when they leave the house.
I cannot tell someone how they feel. Let me get to Lewis in West Philly. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Lewis?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Thank you. Like everyone's been saying, thank you for having this conversation. Honestly, I'm going to try to keep it together, keep it concise. Just listening to these great people, including yourself, talk, it literally has been bringing me to tears just listening and having this conversation.
Wow.
Being myself, I'm 25 years old, born and raised in Philadelphia. I was born in North Philadelphia. And I have an extremely, checkered past, but it's, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to waste all your time, but just my background, you'd never believe this. And I'm, like you said, like thanking God, like very, very thankful for where I am today. I know I'm blessed, lucky, however you feel most comfortable describing it, but being where I am today, I do have that kind of background. But I just wanted to say, because I feel like throughout this conversation, a lot of people are just misinformed. And it's not, it's not a bad thing to just not know something. A lot of people, there's plenty of things certain people just don't know. But I would say you hear things like Black Lives Matter, and that triggers, other movements like the Blue Lives Matter movement, as well as All Lives Matter. And like the previous callers were explaining, you really have to understand that Black Lives Matter is not about an individual. It isn't about somebody saying, hey, you shouldn't kill that person, and that person just happens to be black, so now Black Lives Matter. Black Lives Matter is a movement created by the realization of the black community that, hey, we've been the target of systemic attacks for hundreds of years, and we need to do something about this. And it's like you have instances like the Tulsa massacres, the Tuskegee experiment, eugenics, the crack epidemic. And it's like these are instances in which large groups, organizations of power targeted the black community and decided to attack them. Even having like something that people just generally do not know, Martin Luther King was killed by the government. He was labeled a terrorist and killed by the government because they thought he was too influential in the black community. It's like we celebrate his day today, and they give you the "I Had a Dream" speech, but they do not tell you that the FBI infiltrated his inner circle and they killed him. When he was shot, he didn't die when he was shot. He died in the hospital because he was suffocated. So it's like we have many, many instances in this community post-slavery that the system that we all gathered, because, as human beings, we gather, we create a society, but we have instances in which the society that we all gathered and helped create and we want to perpetuate so that we can all live or pursue a happy life, and at the same time, that same system is taking a group or a few groups, targeting those groups and attacking them. And that's wrong. And that's the conversation. And the reason it's uncomfortable is because it's hard to believe as a member of that system that there would be a couple of guys in an office somewhere and they would say, hey, let's go put drugs in that community to see what happens. Like it's a depressing thought. So I understand why it's a conversation you're not readily eager to have. But it's definitely something that you have to talk about, like you're saying.
Lewis, I appreciate you adding to the conversation. Good stuff, man. Thank you for your perspective.
Thank you.
Have a great one. A lot of terrific calls. A lot of people sharing their thoughts. We will continue. Big E, Mark, hang on. I promise I'll get to you next. 610-632-0975. If you want to get in, I'm Rob Motti, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.